You're listening to a podcast from Jubilee Church, Farnham. To find out more, visit www.jubilee.church.
For those of you who don't know Catherine, she is great. And I say that thinking she's probably had most of you for dinner. But right from the beginning of Jubilee, isn't it, pretty much? Catherine and Anthony have been with us, and it's just been such a joy to be journeying with them. This lady is a rock, and apart from having a major role in the NHS, and she serves faithfully in Jubilee and has such a passion for worship, I thought it'd be great for her to share her heart this morning. So I would encourage you to have ears to hear this morning from God. Is that all right? Lord, I pray you bless Catherine. Lord, I pray that you bless us. And Holy Spirit, I ask that you would give us ears to hear what you have to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Thank you.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. It's lovely to be with you this morning. And great. Hopefully I got a message from God for you this morning, which is very exciting. And that's why I'm excited to be here. Not because I particularly like standing in front of everybody. So, but yeah, God has given me a word for this morning, which I hope will really touch you, and I'm looking for him to speak to you this morning. It's entitled Longing for His Presence, but it's actually a little bit broader than that in terms of thinking about longing and living in his presence, because this is a truth from his word. The next Sunday is, I believe, the first Sunday of Advent. So the season when, as the Christian church, we begin to look forward to the coming of the Messiah and Christmas. And I'm sure a lot of you are quite excited about Christmas. Sean McCallion, being our probably number one Christmas fan in the house, has probably taken his tree down from last year, but it will be going up soon, I imagine. So Christmas is a real time to look forward to for many, many reasons. But one of the big reasons is it talks about the coming of God. And just thinking about what you might be longing for. So there's a longing in our spirits for Christmas. But are there other things that you are longing for as well? Maybe you're thinking about a new job. Maybe you're thinking about finding love, relationship, marriage. Maybe you're thinking about a holiday. Bring on Cape Town, 2022. Maybe you're just longing for Christmas. Last year was a bit of a washout for many of us in terms of Christmas. Maybe that is what you're longing for. Maybe it's a fulfillment of a promise. When we think about Christmas, and Christmas carols particularly, and those that take us in the lead up to Christmas, they often talk about that longing in our souls for the one who is to come. One that you may know, if I say, long lay the world in sin and error pining, till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary world rejoices, for yonder breaks a new and glorious morn. I was going to sing it and then decided against it. It's one of my favorite carols and songs to sing at Christmas, and it just talks of that longing for the world, for the one who was to come, that thrill of hope that he brings. There's that sense of hope, anticipation, excitement as well, and it's something to look forward to. So thinking about the things that you were thinking in your head when you thought about what you're longing for, do they bring that sense of hope, anticipation, excitement? Are they something you're really looking forward to? And when you think of them, I wonder if any of you thought, actually, my desire or my longing is for more of Jesus in my life. I want to know him deeper. I want to know what he has for me. Do you want that presence in your life? When you think about the presence of God, what does it conjure up in your mind? Do you think times of worship, so as we've had this morning, praising God together, being together, maybe being in a prayer meeting where you've really sensed the presence of God? Maybe it's a place you go to. Maybe you like to get away from it all, up on a mountain or in a quiet place, and you just have that sense of his presence. And they are all great. The presence of God is everywhere. Yes. The presence of God is everywhere. Big word, he's omnipresent. But because of that, we don't have to go to a specific place or be in a place or be with other people to experience his presence in our lives. And I believe that's what God really wants to talk to us about this morning. When I was, take me back, 18 months, there was a funny thing called COVID appeared on the global horizon. And as Sean said, I worked for the NHS, and at that time I worked in a large hospital in London. And it was a bit of a fraught time, I'll be honest. It was quite scary for lots of reasons. We didn't really know much about it at that time. There was no vaccines. Going into work every day, the trains were empty. Thank you to our train drivers who still took us in. It was just a strange old time. And as a church, we had stopped meeting. So sort of the experience I had was kind of in late March, early April. And literally going to work every day, I was like, I have no idea what I'm doing. I was way out of my depth beyond anything. And I literally was clinging on to God every morning as I walked in. Worship songs on. In my mind, I was singing Raise a Hallelujah. Everything was going. I had, you know, so many different songs that were just encouraging. He's the way maker. He's the promise keeper. It's like, you know, Lord, you've put me in this place for a reason. So, you know, come on. And then one day I was walking from Waterloo, and I was having a bit of a melancholy moment, if I'm honest. And a song came on in my ears that talked about walking in the presence. And what would we do if he walked into the room? It's a song on an Elevation album. And I just had that moment where I was like, oh, Lord, I miss worshiping with my church. I miss being with people. I miss leading people in worship. I miss seeing that sense of your presence with us in this hall. And I just got this then the sense of somebody literally walking alongside me, which was a bit strange because there was nobody around. And this voice said to me, but I'm here. My presence is here. It's with you. I am with you every day, every second of every day. And it was a little bit of a light bulb moment that we often place God into a box, like he's there. Like, if I go there, then I'll experience him. And it was like, actually, you are with me. Thank you, Lord. And it really stirred me to get deeper into his word and to hold on to the promises of God that we read in his word. And I really, part of this is to also encourage you to get into his word. We read books. We're often recommended books. We get sound bites on the internet, you know, and flashing through Facebook and get sound bites and things. But there is nothing like the word of God that is direct from him. It brings us truth. And I know I've just said sound bites and the word, and this was a sound bite this week, but I felt it really emphasized this. The Bible from Genesis to Revelation is God's disclosure of himself to mankind that he might be known and subsequently enjoyed. Let's read it, desiring to know him. And that's from one of our dear friends in South Africa, Mazura. Who, I don't know if it's his actual quote, but he put it on and he didn't credit it to anybody else. So it's his. It's the truth of God that we need to rebuff the lies of the enemy. Because it's not been funny, he lies to us every single day. So I want to take us into a section of truth in Scripture, which may be a familiar story to you. And it's from Exodus. And this is at the point where the children of Israel, they've been taken out of Egypt. They've had the crossing of the Red Sea, all the miracles. But they've been wandering around in the desert for quite a while. And they've been a bit whingy, if I'm honest, and a bit sort of like, well, you know, God, what's going on? And God has just kind of said to them, look, I'm not going any further with you because you're really annoying me, actually. You're, what was it, you stiff-necked people. And he just said this. And Moses takes us to the next stage. I'm just going to read this. So now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off from the camp, and he called it the tent of meeting. And everyone who sought the Lord would go out to the tent of meeting, which was outside the camp. Whenever Moses went out to the tent, all the people would rise up, and each would stand at his tent door and watch Moses until he'd gone into the tent. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses. And when all the people saw the pillar of cloud standing at the entrance of the tent, all the people would rise up and worship, each at his tent door. Thus the Lord used to speak to Moses face to face, as man speaks to his friend. And when Moses turned again into the camp, his assistant Joshua, the son of Nun, a young man, would not depart from the tent. And I want to pick up just on verse 11 there, where it says that God spoke to Moses as a man who speaks to a friend. This is not some ethereal being that's over there somewhere. This is our friend who speaks to us every day, who has truths in his word that he speaks to us, and he physically speaks to us as well, which may sound a bit strange to some of you. But that voice that spoke to me and said, "I'm with you," was the voice of God. So it's really important that we exercise that gift. We know his voice, because his voice often can get drowned out by the echoes of lots of other things that are around us. And in John it says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." This is the truth of God. It's really important to rebuff the lies of the enemy, that you know his voice, you know his word, the truth that's in his word. And I'll give you a very brief example. I had a bit of a disappointment this week. I'd applied for a new job and found out on Tuesday that I didn't get it, which was fine. I was a bit deflated at the time. The first voice that came into my head said, "Yeah, look, failed again. Crack on, failed again." And immediately I knew that that was not the voice of God. And I took hold of the promises of God from his word that said, "I am a child of God, that he has plans for me that will prosper and not harm me." And I rebuffed that voice. And it says elsewhere in his word, "Take every thought captive." We need to use the word of God and his voice to take the thoughts captive that are lies and are destructive. Thank you, Lord, that your voice is there. Your truth is in your word. I would encourage you to step into this space. Start each day speaking to our Heavenly Father. With just one of the songs we sang about when we wake, we press into Jesus. Such a truth. And Marion encouraged us a number of weeks ago now about when we pray, not waiting till it's like, the world's gone mad, to get into prayer. Actually, let's pray every day. Let's get into the Word of God. Let's get into praying and knowing and learning his voice. Don't wait till you're in panic mode to want to know his presence in your life. Taking us on through the next section of this passage, Moses said to the Lord, "See, you say to me, 'Bring up this people,' but you have not let me know whom you will send with me. Yet you have said, 'I know you by name,' and you have also found favor in my sight. Now, therefore, if I have found favor in your sight, please show me your ways, that I may know you in order to find favor in your sight. Consider, too, that this nation is your people." And he said, "My presence will go with you, and I will give you rest." And Moses said back to God, "If your presence will not go with me, do not bring us up from here." And this is my second point, a good three-point sermon. Second point is just that, if your presence is not with me, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere. And actually, this was quite a big thing, Moses challenging God back and saying, "Hang on, I know you've said that you're not coming with us, but actually, I'm not going nowhere else until I know that you are with us." He was brave, bold, to go to God, and God heard him and answered that prayer. We read in his word that God is with us wherever we may go. There's quite a number of promises, and I've got them all on the screen in various guises. They're a bit small, but you can look at them afterwards. If we look at Matthew 1, Sean has said this several times this morning already. Emmanuel, God with us. It's his name. Psalm 139 talks about him knowing us, hemming us in behind and before. Matthew 28:20, he is with us always. We have that every week on our boards. Joshua 1:9, the Lord is with you wherever you go. Psalm 46, the Lord is with us. 1 Chronicles, be strong and courageous, the Lord is with you. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord goes before you, he will not leave you. And in Psalm 23, it's just a beautiful psalm about the presence of God. The Lord is with you wherever you go. And what I want to ask you is, when you've read those scriptures, and I know I flashed through them quickly, please go back to them later. Do you note any qualification or conditions placed upon this promise? Is it dependent on anything? Is it dependent on us? Do we have to do anything super spiritual to have God with us? As grace is freely given, so his presence is freely given to us too. He is with us in the good times and in the bad times. He calls us to a life of abundance. If we look at John 10:10, it talks about, I've come to bring you life and life in all its fullness. That's not a boring place to be. It drives me insane when I look at Christians who look like, seriously, they've sucked a lemon and been stung by a wasp. It's like, actually, you know, God calls us to a life and an adventure. He doesn't say it's going to be easy. We have nothing about our lives that is any different to those who are not Christians in many ways, but we have the presence of God with us. He promises to take us through everything and be with us and sustain us. As we enjoy living in his presence, and it is a joy to live in his presence, it's a conversation with God, as a friend speaks to a friend. It's much like the gospel isn't a one-off thing. It's an everyday thing, as we've been hearing about in the last few weeks. And in Philippians 3:8, it says, nothing surpasses the knowledge of knowing him. Nothing surpasses that knowledge that Jesus is with us and we know him. It's about being intentional, but being authentic. So it's not about, I'm so holy, please let me be in my holy little bubble and nobody talk to me because I'm in my holy bubble. It's not about that. It's about being real. It's about living life. We're called to be in the world, but not of the world. As we face stuff, be real about it. Actually, life sucks sometimes, really sucks. Times are hard. We've had a number of people that have had really difficult times in the last few weeks and months. Life does suck, but the presence of God is what is with us and sustains us and keeps us going. And it's not about striving either. It's not about, I'm going to really try really, really hard. It's just about being open and saying, God, come and be with me. There's a song on an album. I've asked Chrissy to add it to the playlist. It's a new album from Hillsong. It talks about the song of his presence. And there's a line that says, there's something about your presence that leaves me wanting more. When we've been together and we've experienced the presence of God, when you've maybe had an experience, you want to go back because there's something about his presence that leaves us wanting more. And if you're living a life enjoying his presence, having him with you day by day, you want more. It gets to that point you can't actually live without it. You want to be in that space day in and day out. And that sense of, we don't want to go anywhere without you, Lord. Be with us. Be with me. Oh, I missed that one. Oh, back, that one. So back into the story. For how shall it be known that I have found favor in your sight, I and your people? Is it not in your going with us? So that we are distinct, I and your people, from every other people on the face of the earth. And the Lord said to Moses, this very thing that you have spoken I will do, for you have found favor in my sight, and I know you by name. So my third point is this, how will people know, how will the world know that we are any different from them? It's by the presence of God. It's His Spirit in us. As we walk by the Spirit, we live in the fruits of the Spirit. Again, this is authentic living. It's being real. We've heard in previous weeks about this tension of life. We've got the sinful nature, the things that we kind of really want to do that look very attractive to us. And then we've got the godly nature. And we live in tension of that. But as we live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. I've got a song in my head. Against such things there is no law. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. We live a life where all of these fruits are freely given to us. As we live and walk in His presence, they become more abundant. We live out that love for people. I've found love for people that I never thought I would ever love. I found joy in situations that, frankly, weren't joyful. And peace. The peace I've had this week, in the face of disappointment, has been incredible. And that only but comes from God. And I don't say this as anything like, oh, I'm so super spiritual. I'm not. I'm really not. This is what God's doing, not what I'm doing, honestly. And just to pick up on verse 24 there, those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. The passions of our flesh are dead. They're crucified. They've gone. Actually, we don't need to have really much attention to them at all because He has crucified them. Hallelujah. Oh. Hallelujah. We like a bit of hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Couldn't have had a better moment. It was perfect. I didn't ask Him to do that, I promise. And the thing is if we live by the Spirit, it's normally Siri that comes up on mine. It's like, Siri, I didn't quite catch that. If we live by the Spirit, let's also keep in step with the Spirit. It's having an increased awareness of His prompting. When the office banter is going a little bit like, not quite sure, we begin to sort of slag off person over there somewhere. Do you get involved in that or do you step away? It's those sorts of promptings of the Spirit. You call it your conscience, if you like, that says, not sure you want to send that text that says that person's being a right pain in the bottom. It doesn't stop them being a pain in the bottom, but you don't want to be encouraging that thought about them. You want to take that thought captive. There's something about your presence that leaves me wanting more. It is so good for us to have His presence in our life. It is so good. But it's also good for others too, because they see something different. You don't engage in that office banter. You're not swearing all the time. There are other things in your life. You do funny things like go to church on a Sunday. What is that? What is that about? Let's understand a little bit more about this God that you talk about. That is what is different. That's what sets us apart and is attractive to others. It's that all in for Jesus with our lives. It's an authentic outpouring of our relationship with Him, having Him close to us. It's part of that Romans 12:1 appeal, offering our bodies as living sacrifices to Him, being transformed by the renewing of our minds. So if I go back to my earlier question, are you longing for a life lived in the presence of God? A deepening of your relationship with Him? Is there anything holding you back? Is there a voice that's in your head saying, well, she is maybe a little bit weird after all. She kind of walks along the street and people talk to her and she starts laughing. It's a bit weird. That's a lie of the enemy that says, this is all weird. Because actually, we're not actually that weird. We're quite a nice bunch, really. And the world needs to know that God is good, that He's come, that He died for them, that He came as that baby in the manger that we're going to be singing about in the next few weeks. But He came to bring us life, a life of fullness. Not a life of drudgery, a life of fullness. that is abundant, that we can enjoy and enjoy that adventure together. We're going to pray in a minute. I'm going to invite Matt and the team up. If we come to communion, this is our opportunity to respond to this invitation from God. And please hear me. This is an invitation from God. It is not Catherine Wilkins' gospel verse. This is God calling and saying, I want to deepen my relationship with you. I want to know you more. I want you to know me more. I want you to see my character, all the different aspects of my character. I'm your friend, as he was Moses' friend, and he spoke to Moses as a friend. He's your savior. He's your father. He's your brother. He's all things that are good for you. He's there to meet your every needs. So I urge you to take this opportunity to have a conversation with God. Start now. Start now. Talk to him about anything that's troubling you. Tell him everything. Tell him that you're bored. Tell him that life's tough. Tell him that life's great. Tell him that you love this season and that you love the colors of the trees. Tell him. He wants that relationship. As you would talk to your friend over coffee, talk to God. Because he is there and he is with you all the time. You don't have to go to a cafe to be with him. Maybe this isn't your experience of God. Maybe you don't know him in this way and you really want to. And I want to give you an opportunity to find out more. To step out and say, well, I don't know what this is all about, but I know that I want some of that. Take that opportunity. Come talk to me, talk to Sean, or any of the team, and we can pray with you. And if you also want to have an opportunity to talk to me or to be prayed with, please come and talk to me at the end. We're going to go into communion now, and the guys are going to start playing. We're just going to give a little bit of time just for you to think through. Communion is your time with God. It's communion with God. It's thanking him for his blood and his body that he gave for us so that we have this life. We live this life that is full for him. If you don't know Jesus, that's fine. Just maybe talk to him for a second. That time. But thank you, Lord. I'm just going to pray. Thank you, Lord, that your presence is with us every day. That there is nowhere we go. As Psalm 139 says, wherever we go, you are there. You are with us. You hold us close. You know our thoughts. You know our minds. You know our hearts, our disappointments, our joys. You know what makes us tick. And you love us. You are our friend. You want to be with us. Lord, I pray your presence would be with us now. I pray that you would speak to everybody that is here. Come by the power of your Spirit and just speak. We speak against the lies of the enemy that would come to steal and destroy. Your word is life and is truth. You are all children of God. It's who you are. He is with you. His love is like a mighty ocean. Thank you, Lord. Invite you to come up for communion whenever you're ready, and the guys are going to lead us into worship.